Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the Christmas season, and I want to say hello to everybody. Welcome to Blindsight, to another edition of Blindsight. I'm Bill Lundgren, your host. And with me, of course, is my co-host, Jonathan Price, our producer. And today we're going to be talking about if we were offered the gift of sight, what would that be like? And, you know, that's given me an opportunity, certainly, as the of this hosting, I'm the one that doesn't have sight. And, you know, I think, you know, I'd never even thought about what if I were given the gift of sight. And there are two ways I look at it. One is that we're constantly reminded that there are people with sight who don't see. You know, I'll say more about that. But also the other part is that I'm feeling my, these days, I just had my birthday a few months ago, and I'm feeling my age. And I said, you know, to go through trying to get my sight back, somehow at this stage of the game just doesn't feel like it's worth it. And by that I mean, you know, one of the things that I have not so much talked on this show, but when I was interviewed by Penn originally, I talked about the fact that people with disabilities and with other issues as well, being different, have to go through a number of stages where they come to understand really in the bottom line that, oh yes, I have this, I'm blind, but that's only a part of who I am. And I think that's an important transition for people to realize, because that explains not only for us our own acceptance, but also other people accepting us as we are. They have to go through the same stage. And it, you know, begins with, you know, having some idea that something was wrong, and, or something isn't ordinary, but assuming it's something outside of us, to realizing, oh, I'm one of those people, and wanting to prevent any identification, and then getting totally immersed in either avoiding it totally or totally immersed in the idea of taking a look at our disability, in this case blindness, and, you know, joining groups and getting every scientific information you can about the subject, and trying different gadgets to make it through, and all that kind of stuff. And then you come to the realization, oh, you know, I can manage this. Yeah. And you come from the I can manage it to say, but this is only part of who I am. And, you know, I'm a person with blindness, and I'm deaf, and but I'm also a therapist. I'm a podcaster, and I'm also a member of different organizations and active in them. And you know, I'm a dog owner. I have my own home. All those kinds of things really make up who I am, and the blindness is only part of it. And we talk about getting it back from a scientific standpoint. I know the scripture talks about it, you know, Jesus healing the blind, and the person gets hit. It seems like it was only a man who got that service back in those days, and they get up and they're able to see just exactly as everybody else could. And the thing is, it doesn't work that way, at least today. And there's a lot of work and retraining and so forth that I would have to go through. And I say, for what? You know, at my stage of the game, that feels like too much effort, and I have adapted. I've been totally blind for 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, but in many ways, I realize, especially as a therapist, the sight could have interfered with my working with people because I would have been looking at the visual when I don't have the visual and I hear things acutely, not extra sensory hearing, but just using those senses that I do have in a way that, I catch things that other therapists don't, just simply because I'm attuned to the voice and so forth and so on. And that's what I mean by the difference between sight and actually seeing. And we see this in scripture. We see this in everyday affair. The people are sighted, but they're missing so much of what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And while those of us who are blind, we're picking up stuff that other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like some miracle thing. It's just because we use our other senses in ways that other people take for granted. And I value that. And I say, okay, yeah, it'd be nice to be able to see this painting exactly as it is. But I have a memory, and people, I have an extensive art collection that I'm proud of. And about half of it I bought before I lost my sight, but the other half is inherited, and people have described them to me, and I have that etched in my mind in a way that feels right, and I'm seeing that artwork in a way that's different from people who are sighted, and a lot of sighted people look at a painting and don't know what they're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the kind of gift I'm not ready to give up. And it's not worth it to me to all of a sudden in my, after 30 years, to completely change how I operate. And for that, do I consider that a gift or is that a curse?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah.
That was a short show.
Well, what do you as a sighted person, what do you think of that?
There are so many different facets to this. And I think a lot of people take for granted the ability to physically use their eyes to see things, color, pictures, sunsets, facial expressions, body language. We take all of that for granted every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as a sighted person, I take it for granted every single hour.
Right.
And I don't appreciate it like I should. And even working in this industry and working with the blind and low vision community, I still take it for granted. And when I think of my own life, if I lost my sight, I don't know how well I would adapt. I mean, I just don't. It's a hard world for me to imagine. Now, I try every once in a while to put myself in those situations to try to experience something. And actually, often when I'm either mixing a podcast or I'm mixing some music or I'm playing music or listening to music, I'm at a concert, I will close my eyes because music for me is solely auditory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And hearing the nuance, like one of my favorite, and I don't know if I can explain this very well. One of my favorite sounds is the sound of a cello and a French horn.
Yeah.
And so the cello for me, if you close your eyes and you listen so carefully, my favorite sound is the sound of the resin hitting the bow and the bowstring. And that little crackle, that little granular, it's a very, very quiet, granular sound that if that wasn't there, the cello wouldn't make any noise at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's the grinding of the bow in accordance with the resin against the string that makes the cello resonate.
Right. And somebody in that sound, yo-yo mouse knows to do it in that special way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And his cello sings.
Yeah.
It just comes off the... It becomes otherworldly in, mm-hmm. in a manner of speaking. I don't need sight
That's
to
right.
hear the resin.
It would
resin.
Interfere in a way.
It would. Now, there's an artistry and there's a beauty to his performance sure. in the way he shapes his body, his facial expressions, the direction of the bow changes, all that kind of stuff. But that is a performance enhancer. If I want to listen to just the music in and of itself, you have to close your eyes. I remember a year and a half ago, we had Diane Shore, beautiful jazz pianist who came, and we called it a concert in the dark. But we gave everybody sleep shades. They could use it if they wanted to. They could close their eyes. They didn't. It was an option. And we wanted people to experience the music not as somebody who was blind, but as somebody who was taking an auditory approach to music.
Right.
And it was so beautiful because you get lost in the notes. You get That's right. lost in the dialect of a person's voice. You get lost in the tone and timbre. One of my favorite things, oh my gosh, Bill, when I go hunting almost every year, and my favorite thing to do is after, you know, in the morning, you usually kind of hunt around in the morning, you find a spot kind of mid-afternoon, have lunch, and then kind of take a nap because most of the animals aren't moving around during the heat of the day. And so I take a nap. And I tell you what, the wind that whistles through the trees, the sound of little animals scurrying around against the leaves and climbing up a tree, or snow falling off of a tree onto a bank, or the sound of an elk bugling across a canyon can send shivers down my spine.
Right. If you
and
listen.
My eyes are, oh my gosh, it's incredible.
It's that thing of you using that sense rather than all the distractions that can come through eyesight and just focus on that. But I have, you know, one of our guests, Kathy Cudlett, was talking, you know, we talked about the fact she met somebody on a bus who said, if I knew that I was going to lose my sight, I would kill myself. Huh? Yeah. You know, it's so narrow in terms of people's perspective. And even when my sister, my younger sister, lost her sight to the same condition I have, she had a degree in fine arts, and she continued to work and turn out some beautiful work using her other senses, particularly touch.
So we had a going along that point, we had a guest on The Blind Chick. And I forget her name, Blind Girl Designs. Anyway, but she was a bigwig in the fashion industry and was in New York and London and Paris all the time. And she took that, she goes, well, fooey with you, even though I lost my vision, I'm still going to make designs.
Right.
And she did. And she's thriving in that. And it's really, really cool to see. So, you know, Lex Gillette, one of the guests that we've had on a couple of different shows, he has he does public speaking for a living now, and he's an Olympic gold medalist in the Paralympics. And he has this saying that who needs sight when you have vision? And at surface level, that's kind of an odd statement. You know, who needs sight when you have vision? That doesn't make any sense. But his point is that when you have a direction in life and you know where you're going and you know what you want to do, you don't have to have sight to do those things.
Right.
You have barriers to them that you have to either overcome or maneuver or whatever. But you still have that vision to go be a doctor or a chemist or a lawyer or a musician or a therapist or an accountant or just, and I'm not saying just as, but you can be a mom, you can be a dad, you can be truly whatever you want. You can even be a pilot now with some of the technology that's coming out. And I mean, I know a lot of people who, if they found out their pilot was blind, they'd be like, let's not take this flight. But it's still possible.
It's like they talk about a plane that was totally automatic. There's no pilot. And it starts right. off, it says, welcome aboard flight XYZ. There's no pilot here. Everything's automatic and nothing can go wrong. Can go wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
But you see, the thing is, in some ways, we can look at being blind in the examples that you were talking about and express gratitude for not having the distractions of sight.
That's right.
And being able to focus on sound, focus on what you're doing in a way that sighted people have too many things that are coming at them. And as you say, close their eyes anyway in order to do what they need to do. But we... You know, we have our eyes closed, quote unquote, but in many ways we have better sight,
right?
Better at seeing than those who have sight.
Well, I was just reminded when you were talking that, you know, how many times when we get scared and something's coming at us, we close our eyes.
Yeah.
And because we see that distraction.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, with people who are blind, they don't really have that fear that's at least that perception of fear. I mean, yeah,
well, you bump into things, you bump into people,
whatever, you know, just watch out for the car that is getting ready to hit you when you cross the crosswalk.
Turn on red. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And it's funny that even as a sighted person, I still close my eyes if, you know, a tree branch is coming at me or I duck or, something like that. It's an anticipatory fear.
Exactly.
I can assume, or I would assume maybe wrongly or correctly, I don't know, that blind people and low vision people just don't have. Now, there are different anxieties, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But
Well,
the distraction of sight can be a very real burden and one that I have been faced with quite often the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you see, I think it's the sense of how much we learn or willing to learn to use other senses to take the place of sight. And that's really the key because we... You know, we get so, you know, people with blindness, particularly in the beginning, we get so upset and discouraged because we can't be like everyone else. Sure. And, you know, one of these days we'll come to realize that, hey, maybe it's a good thing we're not like anybody else. We have some distinctive qualities. You know, people in my building know who I am because I'm walking around with a dog and I'm blind, you know. So they remember Aiden's name more than they do mine. I know I'm always second fiddle to the dog, but
yeah.
The point is, okay, that's something that and I hope in a positive way makes me stand out.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm glad to have that distinction because I'm not sure I want to be like everybody else.
Mm.
But at times, we become fearful that being different means we're going to be outside. And that doesn't necessarily happen. If we, you know, get over our fear and begin to use what we have, and which is a lot of work. I mean, I'm not going to... discount the work that's involved. But again, a friend of mine, French, loves to cook French and discovered that how little she used her eyes for cooking. But she didn't know that till she was wearing shades.
Yeah.
I said, oh, I don't use my sight that much, but I always thought I did.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be able to cook if I didn't have sight. And that's the kind of all or nothing thinking that we can get into.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what, that more than anything else is detrimental to us. And we also have people who reinforce that idea. Oh, don't do this. Or, I've had situations where somebody will pull me to the side because there's somebody coming and your dog is not paying attention. And my dog is paying attention. He always does. It's very rare that I bump into anybody because he's doing the job. But everybody assumes, because I can't see somebody, that I'm going to be vulnerable to crashing into the person.
Yeah, that's a big fallacy, because I've seen some amazing people navigate using echolocation, and they know if they're next to a bush, next to a wall, next to different people, if there's an opening, if there's a door opening. Like,
I'm not that good at ears that, but I know what you mean.
Your ears can almost give you more information depending on how well your ears are functioning, you know, if better than your visual acuity can.
Right. Absolutely. And,
you know, I think it kind of goes back to an awareness thing for me, and getting into that philosophical area where vision is more metaphoric and philosophy based than it is physically based.
Yeah.
Because if you take the idea of having vision, like I said with Lex Gillette, if you take the idea of having vision, you understand that, I don't want to put this, that not all the things in life need to be seen.
Right.
They just need to be experienced. And I don't know, the idea, for me, the idea of losing my vision is a scary thing. Sure. And then I'm not to the point, obviously, that I want to kill myself, but, or I would want to kill myself. It's just a thing that you have to adapt to.
Yeah.
But philosophically speaking, how we all have the ability to lose our sight. And actually, if you think about it, we're all born blind. And it's not until we learn truth and we learn wisdom and we learn those things that our eyes become open, metaphorically speaking. And which is a very interesting paradox when you have, I remember Kelvin Crosby, who is our host on BLT. He talks about his journey into vision loss and how, he lost his vision. And when he was going through that, he learned what vision was for his life. And he says, there's no way I could do the things that I do now if I were sighted. And he still has that character of drive and determination and this can't quit mentality. But where he would be in this particular field doing amazing things for the blind community, he would never be able to do it.
Well, as you were talking, I was finishing up a cup of coffee, and I put the coffee down, not in its usual place because I've got the keyboard in front of me and all that, but I just, was with my little finger feeling around, oh, here's the table, here's the coaster, and put it down without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And, it's that perception when you have sight, oh, everything I do is based on sight, and if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to do anything, and that's that all or nothing thinking. But if you lose your sight, now I did gradually, but you learn humans, when they allow themselves, can adapt very well. That's how we've survived thousands of years, because we adapt to our situation.
Yeah.
And blindness is just an act of adaptation if we allow ourselves and if other people around us. One of the things I get frustrated with is when somebody grabs my hand and, puts my hand where, I need to touch something. No, wait a minute. Just give me a few minutes, I'll find it. And it's better for me to do that. But you see, we have this sighted mentality that says, if this person isn't sighted, I've got to take over. And that's one of the things that has to change. And sometimes we have to be a little bit belligerent to get people to understand, give me a few more minutes than you to accomplish this task, but I feel better when I do it myself rather than have you take over. Because I'm not learning anything when you take over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the, you see, that kind of acceptance does come gradually. If you lose your, have a sudden loss, then it's real hard to move into the acceptance part, I think, for a lot of people, for most people. But it takes a little time and a little trust in ourselves and our adaptability and for people to kind of back off and say, you know, he needs to, he's going to take a little more than I like, but that's my problem. That's not his or hers. Yeah. It's a matter so that I can learn. The more that I learn, or the more quickly I can operate. And, you know, and it makes a whole world of difference in terms of, you know, building confidence and understanding that, yes, I have an alternate universe from other people, but that doesn't mean it's less than or greater than somebody else's.
Sure.
And that's a gift of blindness to me. This may sound strange, but that's a gift.
It is. That it absolutely is.
I learned alternative ways and trust myself, and sometimes I get frustrated. We all do, but we, but sighted people, in case we aren't aware of it, sighted people get frustrated too.
Shocker.
But you see, that part of life is to have frustrations and have to learn how to do certain things with the equipment you're given. Because that's all we got. We've got ourselves, and
that's right.
We have to use it to best advantage. If we're sighted, okay, we've got some ways to get things going. But as I say, we have to use that sight that we have, and not everybody does.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what's really fascinating to me. That sighted it. Well, one of the things I've said, I think, on the air several times, I don't remember to turn on the lights in my condo. And people come in and say, oh, Bill, would you turn on the light? And I pause for a moment and say, you sighted people are so disabled. You have to have lights. And do you realize what the electricity is doing to the environment? If we were all blind, we probably would be able to reduce the...
that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, sure.
But
that's funny.
But you know, it's from which side of the ledger you're looking at, and it's intriguing to me to understand in a positive way, for example, how sighted people may not use their ears as much as I would.
Right.
Or touch.
Yep.
And that's something that I have that a lot of sighted people don't even think of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so I get a different sense of things by touch. I get a different sense of using the other, and plus my instinct. I think, you know, I can't say blind people have more ability with instinct. But I find that my instincts are pretty good, and I think part of it has to do with not being able to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up this show, I want to wish everybody a wonderful and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And next week, we're going to be kind of diving into it's kind of a launching from podcast where we're going to be talking about keywords that we like to focus on for the new year, or, you know, identifying resolutions or what it looks like to plan out your future for 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting, and it'll be a fun show. And I've been working on my words for, you know, how I want 2025 to look and go, because it's going to look vastly different than 2024. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And, So right. It'll be a good show. Bill, any one final thought, but are you doing anything for New Year's?
I haven't established what I'm going to do. I haven't established what I'm going to do for Christmas, actually, or anything else. That kind of comes as it may. But I think the thing that I want to leave with our listeners is you might do some homework before our next show in terms of thinking about the things that everybody does it. They make New Year's resolutions. I've made a zillion of them and broken them within, you know, two weeks or whatever. But if we'll offer you some different ways of looking at resolutions, we hope. But meanwhile, you can be thinking, okay, what do I want different or to especially do in 2025?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So until the next show, don't forget to feel free to give us feedback. We have a feedback line that's 720-712-8856. Or you can email us feedback@aftersight.org. We will read it. We love having feedback. You know, it really helps us to shape the show and hopefully to keep it relevant to all of you. And I, too, wish everybody a very happy holiday, whatever your religion is, whatever your inclination in terms of using this period of time. I hope it's fun and very fulfilling. Best wishes to all.